Good morning. Merry Christmas. Belated, a little bit late. Happy New Year, a little early. Kind of in that in-between phase there. This morning, I want to invite you to turn to Ephesians chapter 5. And we're not going to have slides for everything today, so you're going to need to dig into the Word on your own. So get your Bible app out or your Bible out. We're going to check that out here in a minute. As I think about the new year coming and prayed this week in preparation, one of the things that the Lord put on my heart was a friend of mine, Jeff Kasaya, who went home to be with the Lord this past year. We didn't expect it. Of course, the Lord's timing is perfect. But Jeff was the national field director for Man in the Mirror, a ministry that I worked for several years. And one of Jeff's favorite words that he just loved to impart to other men to really take this on as part of their walk with the Lord is intentionality. That you've got to have intentionality in order to just take advantage of the daily opportunities that God wants you to have and to grow as a Christian man and to live the Christian life. And you've got to be intentional about it, to be in the Word and to build others up and to love other people. And so I've been thinking about this week as I kind of look back on the past decade and the impact of people in my life and look forward to the new decade coming up that the Lord's got for us. And 2 Corinthians 5:17, the Bible tells us, therefore, if anyone's in Christ, the new creation has come. It means you're a new person. So the old has gone and the new is here. You know, I think about the past week and celebrating the birth of Jesus. And in Jesus Christ, you know, God gave us his very best gift, the ultimate gift in Christ, giving us himself. You know, Jesus came to be on a mission. Jesus came with intentionality, not just to hang out, right? He had something to do. He was intentional about it. He came to live a perfect life. He came to take our sins upon himself. He came to go to that cross so that we could not only be forgiven, but we could be free from sin and from death and to have a new life. Jesus didn't come for us to stay the same. Not just to say, well, I'm going to give you some information about forgiveness, but you just go on and stay a slave to Satan and sin and death and have a meaningless life. He didn't come for that. He came that we would receive a life of meaning. He called it abundant life. He wanted us to have a changed life, that there would be a newness about who we are. If anyone is in Christ, the Bible tells us, anyone, if anyone's in Christ, that means that if somebody claims, and it's true, that they are born again, as the Bible puts it. If somebody says, I'm not who I was because I've transferred my trust in anything else for salvation, my trust is in Jesus alone now. I'm trusting in Jesus. And the Bible says that when we do that, the old things are gone. They're removed. And that's, sometimes I think of that, I think of the sin. You know, I think of the mess and all the brokenness and those things. We want to be gone, right? I want that out of here. But everything's new. The Bible's telling us that the dreams of the past, those goals of the past that were kind of shallow or self-centered or aiming too low, those things are gone. The old is gone. The old identity of who we thought we were or people told us we were before Christ, all those things are gone. All the old hurts and the hang-ups, we can receive healing for those things. All the old attitudes and profane speech that somebody may have had, these things are forsaken. Jesus said, I came to make all things new. And the most important thing is that our view of Jesus changes when we become new in Christ. I remember before I became a Christian, my view of Jesus was I thought, well, I bet Jesus would have been cool to hang out with. He seemed like a nice guy. You know, that was about the extent of it. He seemed to have some wisdom, too. I probably could have learned one or two things anyway from Jesus. Well, that changes. Praise God. That view changes, right? Out with the old view of Jesus. When we become a follower of his, we understand, no, he's much more than just a good teacher with a little bit of wisdom to give us. One of the changes, too, is that the old way of wasting our days should be gone. The old way of having a life that's not intentional, a life that's just going through the motions and just going along with the flow of the culture and the people around us, those old ways of wasting our time should be gone because God's got something better for us. One of the unique things about this whole born-again life, this whole Christian life that God has for us, one of the really interesting things about it is the newness is actually supposed to increase. And I think about in the past when Kim and I got our new car, and what a change that was from the old car that mechanically wasn't sound, and we had all these, and you've got the wiring issues, you've got the scratches and the dents, and it smells like chicken McNuggets in there for some reason, you know. And when we got rid of the old car, not because we didn't like it, but it just wouldn't run anymore, so it had to go. So we got rid of the old car, and we got the new car. Well, the new car is shiny, and it actually starts when you want it to, and it smells different. You know, it smells like a new car. And over time, though, that wears off. You know, after 2 or 3 years, I'm thinking, where'd that smell go? I like that new car smell, but it goes away. And where do these scratches come from? What's that funny sound in the engine right after the warranty runs out? Well, the Christian life is so special and different because our newness is actually supposed to increase, that we actually get more new as time goes on. We get more of that Jesus smell or whatever. We get more of that sweet aroma of a life lived well for God. More and more in our lives. Out with the old things, more and more, right? And increasingly new. Not perfectly new, but increasingly new. You know, the Bible tells us that for a new man or a new woman in Christ, that we have new beliefs now. We have new principles because we read the Word of God and our character starts changing, our conduct starts changing, and we start living by biblical rules in our life, hopefully, more and more. We start thinking about how we're using our words, maybe catching the words that are coming out a little more often, hopefully. The words we're using and the attitudes with which we're speaking those words, hopefully they're changing, and hopefully more and more the words coming out of us sound familiar, like something we read in the Bible. We start lining up our attitudes and our words with the Word of God more and more because of the Holy Spirit living in us, and especially in our words about Jesus. That there's this love coming out when we speak about Jesus, this devotion to Jesus, this adoration to Jesus that's coming out of us. You know, God does want us to make the most of our days. He wants our days to count for Jesus Christ. The Bible makes it clear that how we spend our time matters. How we spend our days, actually, I believe it says something about our relationship with the Lord. You know, if we really examine how we spend our time, and it can reveal actually whether we're new in Christ as we say we are at all, sometimes. You know, there's some folks who the old doesn't appear to be gone in any way. A lot of times, though, it's a matter of maturity, right? It's a matter of more and more changing over time. And maybe it just says, you know, you're not being intentional. If the changes aren't happening, maybe it's time to get more intentional, to get in the Word, to be in prayer, to be around other believers, to spend time worshiping Him, to have that intentionality that I want to spend my days growing in my walk with the Lord. And you've got to want to do that for that to happen. It's a choice. And not only want to grow in our relationship, but I want other people. I want to help other people to do that too. And that requires intentionality with our time. And our time in this world is so brief. It's so limited. I was reading a time management study. I don't know what year this was from. I think probably several years ago. But in the study, it said that for an adult American, during their, well, I guess at the end of adulthood, over a lifetime, that on average, Americans spend 2 years of their life making phone calls to people or returning phone calls to people and not getting in touch with them, leaving messages or calling and calling again or playing phone tag or whatever it may be, that we spend so much time trying to connect with people and not successfully doing that. You know, I think in the time we're in now, maybe that would include emails and texting people who don't text back that we're trying to reach out to, and we're wondering, you know, why don't they text me back? But we spend a lot of time trying to communicate with people unsuccessfully. That same study said that we spend 6 months of our life waiting on the light to turn green over a lifetime. Sitting there with a red light, I have to confess that I need you to pray for me because that tempts me to want to not wait at that. I'm thinking 6 months wasted at a red light. I need not sit there so long. That's too much time wasted. But we have to. We have to. Along with that, that study said that we spend 8 months of our lives reading junk mail. Can you believe that? Stuff that's just meaningless. I mean, solicitations for stuff that you're not even interested in. 8 months of our life reading junk mail. Well, as we transition into the new year, as we say, out with the old and in with the new, it's a good time for us to consider the old self and the new self. It's a good time for us to think about how we're using our time and maybe to make some changes if it's necessary. As we think about collectively, you know, even as a church going into the future and individually how we spend our time, we need to make sure that we're being wise and spending our time the way God wants us to. And of course, I suppose we have to sit at the red light. We can't just run through. There's times we have to have those times in our life on earth where you just have to wait. You don't want to. And there doesn't seem to be a lot of purpose. I think God has a purpose in that too. Sometimes there's a chance to pray. I've had times where I'm at the register, check out at the grocery, and it breaks down or something, or they need to put more register tape in, and they start apologizing. I said, you know what, this is a divine pause by God. I said, it's fine. I'm just going to pray while I wait. You know, God has a purpose even in that waiting. But there is a lot of discretionary time. You know, there's a lot of time where we could just choose, am I going to hang out on Facebook? Am I going to watch TV? Am I going to twiddle my thumbs? You know, whatever it may be. And it's okay to rest. It's okay to have those things. But we don't want to spend all of our time in things that don't really advance the cause of Christ. We don't want to spend all of our time in ways that don't help us to grow in Christ. We've got to choose to spend time well if we want to grow. In Psalm 39, there's a passage there that talks about rushing that ends in nothing. And I think what the Bible's talking about here is that part of life where if you're like me, and I've always got a list of tasks, I've always got a list of all these things I think that I need to do that in my agenda really matter, and most of the time they're probably not as significant as I think. But we can spend our lives just rushing around with all these tasks that really aren't what God had for us to do. It's just busyness. There in Psalm 39 in verses 5 and then the first part of verse 6, it says, speaking to the Lord, you have made my life no longer than the width of my hand. My entire lifetime is just a moment to you. At best, each of us is but a breath. It makes me pause. Maybe take a moment with me just to breathe in and breathe out. Can we do that together? We are merely moving shadows. All of our busy rushing, all that time that's not intentional to be used for the Lord, that ends in nothing. Our time here is precious. It is a very precious gift from God. It's so brief, and God doesn't want us to waste that gift. He wants us to make the most of our lives. I read a funny story about a woman in New York who fell out of a second-story window, which doesn't sound like a funny story, but she was okay. She actually landed. There was a garbage truck going by slowly that had the back of the truck open, and it was full of garbage, and she just fell into the garbage. And she's trying to get out. She's like banging on the truck, and the driver didn't hear. He just keeps going, and so she just starts climbing out of the garbage, out of the back of the truck, and there's some foreign tourists who are walking down the street, and one of the foreign tourists nudged his friend next to him, and he said, see, I told you Americans were wasteful. That lady had at least 20 good years left. Well, I want to give us some context this morning for this passage here in Ephesians 5. In the preceding verses, Paul's calling on the disciples of Christ here in Ephesus, and he uses this expression. He says, you need to walk in a manner worthy of your calling. Walk in a manner worthy of your calling. And that's there in chapter 4, verses 1 through 16. And encourage you to take a look at that as we approach chapter 5. Chapter 4, 1 through 16, some of the phrases you'll see there about walking in a manner worthy of your calling. Paul writes, being humble. Being humble. Walking in a manner worthy of your calling, the call of the Christian life, making your days count, having that intentionality, being humble, being gentle, being patient, loving. Paul says being united together in peace to God's people, not being quarrelsome, not being divisive, not causing disunity in the body. And he goes on there in chapter 4 in verses 17 through 24, he talks about walk differently than the world around you. He actually uses this phrase, and I love this. It's one of my favorite phrases for the individual Christian, but for us as a family, he says, be children of light. Walk as children of light. Not living for lustful pleasure or practicing every kind of impurity, it'll say there in verses 17 through 24. Rather, he says, throw off the old sinful nature. Out with the old. Let that go, that former way of life. Instead, let the Holy Spirit renew your minds. Renew your minds, giving you new thoughts, giving you new attitudes, putting on the new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous, truly holy. And Paul goes on here in verse 25 of chapter 4 through the beginning of chapter 5, he talks about walking in love. That this worthy walk that's worthy of your calling means walking in love. And he's talking about what that looks like. He says, don't be deceitful anymore. Don't excuse deceitfulness. Maybe in your former way of living with getting what you wanted to get in your life, you weren't completely telling the truth. He says, be truth tellers. And then he talks about the attitudes also of walking in love. He said, don't let anger control you any longer. Don't use obscene language any longer. Don't have evil behavior. Those are the old ways, but he says, living a life of love, having forgiveness. You can't forgive people if they don't offend. It's going to happen. Forgiveness and encouragement. Encourage one another, living as God's dear children. And Paul tells us, follow Christ's example. Follow that example of love of the Savior for the people around you. And then he warns against sin, even for believers. Be on your guard against sinful behavior. Be on your guard against the influence of sinful people around you. Don't fall into those traps of what they're indulging in. If they're unrepentant, don't do that. And that brings us here this morning to our passage here in chapter 5. We're going to start in verse 15, and we're going to read 15 through 20 or 21 here this morning. And we'll look back a little bit at some of the earlier verses too. But this is really God's command. Here in verses 15 through 20 or 21, this is God's command to make the day count, to make each day count for Him. Verse 15 says, so be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but live like those who are wise. Well, what's that mean? What's the difference? What's the difference between living as a fool and living like those who are wise? And Paul tells us in the preceding verses here in chapter 5, before verse 15, the wise, he says, and you'll see this in the verses before, he says, the wise imitate God in everything they do because they are His dear children. So the wise are those who are imitating God. The wise are those who are living a life filled with love. The wise are the people who are they're following the example of Jesus Christ. The wise are the people who are thankful to God. There's times that's not me, that I'm acting like a fool, that my thankfulness is not where it ought to be. The wise do what's good. They do what's right. The wise do what is true. They confess their sins. The wise aren't perfect. The wise are still stumbling. The wise are still making mistakes. But the wise are seeking to intentionally do what is good. And then when they fail, they confess their sins. They say, God, you're right about me. I still need a Savior today. But I turn away from my sin and I turn to the Savior and I receive your forgiveness. And then he tells us about the fools. Here in those verses, he says, fools participate in impurity and greed and sexual immorality. They tell obscene stories. They engage in foolish talk. They're telling jokes that are coarse and inappropriate. And here's a big one. Instead of repenting, they try to excuse their sins. Instead of agreeing with God about their sin, they just keep doing it. And they come up with excuse after excuse for why they're sinning. They try to justify it. Before Christ, I guarantee I had a long track record of that. But Paul tells us the anger of God will fall on them for their disobedience. Fools participate in worthless deeds of darkness. If you look there at verses 10 and 11, you don't have to have your Bible app open or your Bible open. I don't have a slide for this morning, but I want to give you just a brief summary definition. You might write this down. A biblical definition of being wise and being a fool. Because none of us wants to be a fool, right? We want to make our days count. We want to live wisely. Being wise is determining what pleases the Lord each day and doing it. Being wise is determining what's going to please the Lord today. What does He want me to do? And that's what I'm going to do. That's living wisely. Being a fool is waking up in the morning and just living the day doing whatever pleases you. Even as a believer, I've done that plenty of days where I didn't have that intentionality to say, God, what's your plan for me today? What do you want me to do? And I just hit the ground running, hit my to-do list, never pausing, never seeking the Lord for what He wants for the day. Verse 16 says, make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Make the day count. It's a command from God. Make the day count. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Every day is a precious opportunity. It's a precious gift from God. And if we just mindlessly run through the day doing whatever we think is right or whatever selfish agenda we have or whatever pleasures, we radically underestimate the value of the day. I do that way too often. Every day, when the Holy Spirit is in charge, has incredible potential. Has incredible value. It's not just another day. It's not just another day. The potential for Christ to do something in us when we live for Him specifically that day. And sometimes that we just waste that gift. We waste that gift. We way underestimate the value of it, of each day sometimes. It reminds me of kind of a funny story that I heard about a guy that he was a millionaire. He really loved his mom. His mom was aging, and he thought, you know, I don't know how many birthdays mom has left, but I want to get her something really special. And his mom loved birds, and he thought, I want to get her just the greatest bird I can find. And so he started digging into the possibilities there, and he heard about this incredibly rare, smart bird that he might be able to buy, and this bird had a huge vocabulary. This bird spoke 4,000 words and spoke multiple languages. This bird actually could sing some operas from beginning to end, and he was like, wow, that's the bird for my mom. Whatever the cost, I'm gonna get this bird for my mom. And so he found the owner, and he paid, I think, like $500,000 to get this bird for his mom. And he had the bird sent to his mom for her birthday, and a couple days later, he thought, she's going to be so excited. So he called his mom to check and see, and he called her up, and he said, Mom, what'd you think about that amazing bird? Isn't that something? And she said, "Son, what a thoughtful, wonderful gift. Thank you so much. That bird was delicious." Yeah. We treat the days that way sometimes. We think it's a nice gift. Thanks. Hey, thanks for the meal. You know, thank you for this nice day, Lord. And I do that. But we just, if we're not intentional to seek what God, His value in that day, when the Holy Spirit is setting the agenda for that day, when there's intentionality in that day to seek the Lord and what He wants to do, the potential is so much more than just a delicious meal. It's so much beyond what we're expecting if we seek the Lord and what He wants to do with it. And that's one of the points of this message this morning, is to make the day count. It means we're going to make the most of the day, not just taking it as it comes and not being intentional to see the value in it, to see the potential. That making the day count means that we want to make good use of the time in an evil age that's very quickly passing away. It's one of the ways that we show that we really understand, you know what, there is value in this day. There's potential in this day. God can do something amazing in this day if I will seek Him for what He wants to do. Verse 17 says, "Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do." Don't just go through the motions. Don't live thoughtlessly. Understand what the Lord wants you to do. And that's another point this morning, that making the day count means that I'm going to seek God's will for the day. Before I just rush through, just busy rushing that doesn't mean anything, I want to seek to know what God's will is for this day. And I think this is an important thing to realize. God's will is so much more than just what He wants you to do in your personal choices. I know just for myself and in speaking with other people, that want some guidance from me as a pastor, and they come and they say, I want to know God's will for me in this relationship with this other person. A lot of times young people thinking about somebody they see as maybe a potential husband or wife, and they're like, I need to know God's will for me, and that's great. There's nothing wrong with that. Or I want to know God's will for me with this job. Should I take this job? I want to know God's will. Should I move to this other place? I want to know God's will regarding this investment. I want to know God's will regarding this timing of retirement. I want to know, and those are great. You know, it's always good to seek the will of God, but so many times we externalize that to it's my circumstances. What's God's will for my circumstances? And the older I get, the more years I have walking with the Lord, the more I am convinced that primarily His will for me has to do with who I am, more than my activities and what I'm doing. If my identity in Him gets right, everything else gets right. I'm making the choices He wants me to make. But God's will for you each day primarily has to do with conforming to the image of His Son, conforming to the image of Jesus, conforming to His character. You know, God's more concerned with making us more like Jesus than the stuff we're doing. If He makes us more like Jesus, we'll do the stuff He wants us to do. A lot of times my concern when I'm praying for God's will in my life, here's what I'm praying, because I want my life to be easier and more pleasant. Lord, and it's not what I'm saying, but it's what I mean when I'm praying. Lord, would you just make my world a little more like heaven? Lord, would you just make things down here a little more full of joy and peace and love and less stress and evil and hassles? And that's a great prayer. But my concern is, Lord, make my world more like heaven. And His will for me today, more often than not, is I want to make you more like your Savior. I want to make you more like the one who reigns over heaven than make your world look like heaven. I want your character to be more like Jesus. That's His will for us. And ultimately what He's doing is He's saying, I want to make you more fit to live in a place that looks like heaven to be part of a place that looks like heaven. More than the circumstances, the Lord's saying, we need to get you right. We need to get you changed to be more like Jesus. And in time, we'll work out the other stuff. Our days when we live for God's purposes, they have incredible potential, incredible value. It's way too easy for us to treat the days foolishly and to just run through unintentionally. It's so easy for me, and it's okay. The Bible talks about living a simple life, a good life. And it's okay just to receive God's blessings and at the end of the day say, Lord, thank you for that delicious bird you sent. And I think he's probably saying, you're welcome. You're welcome, son. But it had a lot more potential than you knew. It had a whole lot more value than the meal. If you just sought me for what I was really giving you that day. Verse 18 says, don't be drunk with wine because that will ruin your life. And he's not bashing wine. That's not the point. The point is the rest of the verse there. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Making the day count means being filled with the Holy Spirit. You can't make the day count on your own. Neither can I. It's only in the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit that we become more like Jesus, that we have godly character, that we are set apart for God in this day. It's only in the filling of the Spirit. So what are some ways that being filled with the Spirit is evident when we are intentional to seek God? You know, the Bible says, fathers, you're not perfect. You're actually evil. And you know to give your sons good gifts. How much more will God give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? But we've got to pause and say, Lord, fill me up today. What does that look like? And we do that. And we want to make the day count. And we pause in the morning and say, God, fill me with your Spirit and have your agenda in my life today. Here in verse 19, Paul begins to tell us. He says, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves. So part of being filled with the Spirit is evident in our daily lives when we are encouraging each other. When he talks about psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, it's Scripture. So he's saying, listen, there's a song in your heart and in your conversations and in what's going on. There's singing and otherwise. It's coming out of your mouth that things line up with the Word of God. And speaking just specifically to music for a minute, I mean, there's, if you look in the Bible at God's purpose in creating music, it's to worship Him. And it was really for no other purpose. I mean, worship and praise for God is why we have music. So it's important to realize that and understand with the music that we listen to, you know, Christian music or otherwise, that the lyrics need to line up with the Word of God and they need to glorify Him, whatever we're listening to. They need to be in agreement with the Bible. And then continuing in that verse there in 19, making music to the Lord in your hearts. Making music to the Lord in your hearts. God wants to connect with us on an emotional level. He gave us emotions for a reason. He wants our hearts close to His heart for us to be filled with joy and praise and love for Jesus Christ and just overflowing with that to the point that we bust into song. Have you ever had those days where you just feel the presence of the Holy Spirit so much, you just it's just overflowing so much within you, the Spirit's presence is? And I've had this where I'm somewhere, they probably thought I was crazy. They're like, how are you doing? And I said, you know what, I'm so blessed by God, I'm liable to break out into song at any moment. And you mean it, to where there's just such joy there. You're just so blessed by God. Making music to the Lord in your hearts. Praising Jesus. Continuing in verse 20, and give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Those filled with the Spirit are thankful. Amen? Amen. That's a great check on whether you're operating in the flesh or the Spirit. At least for me. I can tell you there's been times in the last 48 hours God convicted me. you're complaining way too much. You're not thankful enough. Like, oh, you're right, Lord. As always, I'm operating in the flesh. I'm not thankful in a moment. And then he redirects me. Come, Holy Spirit, fill me. Take over. Those who are filled with the Spirit should be known for thankfulness, not complaining. Verse 21, and further submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Submission out of reverence for Christ. Being led by the Spirit means that we properly recognize authority. And unless you continue on down through, which we're not going to do this morning because of time, but you can check this out on your own. There's examples of this submission in the verses that go after this, in the chapters following, and it's really speaking specifically of respect and submission for authority that God puts in our lives out of reverence for Christ's authority. That one of the hallmarks of the old life is rebellion. For me, it was radically evident before Christ. Rebellion against any and all authority, but ultimately it's towards God's authority. And he's saying, no, no, when you've gotten rid of the old way and you've got the new way, respect the authority I put in your life. Even as you respect Christ and reverence him. You know, here in this passage, Paul is instructing us to walk in wisdom, to make the day count. He's saying, listen, there's another way that the world lives. There's a folly in the culture. There's a foolishness of those around you who they've got a form of wisdom that's not from God, that's not wise at all, of how they spend their time. And it's not a matter of us just gathering more information that people around us don't have. That's not the wisdom God's talking about. He's saying, listen, find out what pleases me on a daily basis. God's saying, come to me in prayer. Read my word and understand that there are opportunities, there's value in this day. There's opportunity in this day that you'd never imagine unless you seek him. And it's there. It's there. And God wants us to operate in wisdom, to know his will, and to do it each day. We're going to have, in a few minutes, communion. Chad's going to come up and lead a communion meditation for us today. But before that, I want us to just take a few quiet moments and think about and pray about how the Holy Spirit might guide us today to make this day count. And I don't know how that's going to look for you, what you're going to do to seek his will or to know what's going to please him today. But I just want to throw out a few questions that maybe would help. You know, maybe today, to make the day count today, maybe it's time for you to receive the good news into your heart. Maybe it's time for you to take Jesus up on his offer of forgiveness and salvation. That'd be a great way to make the day count today if you haven't done that. You know, maybe today is a good day to make the day count that you're going to start trusting the Lord in an area that you've not trusted him before. You're going to understand that whatever that burden is in your heart that you haven't trusted him with, you can. Maybe you're going to make the day count today and you're just going to say, God, I know your will for me today is to give that to you. To finally let you have that and stop worrying about that burden and just to trust you. I'm going to forsake that, God. I'm just going to give it to you and trust you today. You know, maybe there's an area of your life, that maybe there's a relationship that you've got that you tend to just take in that relationship and not give. And so to make the day count and to get rid of the old and go with the new today, God's saying, you know what? I'm giving you everything you need to be a giver. You've got something to give. You know, maybe today, to make it count, you're going to say, you know what? There's an opportunity to serve somebody. And I haven't wanted to. I haven't wanted to go to that neighbor and help him out because I really don't like him. But I know they're having a tough time right now and I could take them a meal. And maybe that's how God's going to make the day count today for you. You know, maybe it's an area of sin in your life that you've held on to and not forsaken, and God's saying, today's the day I want you to give that up. Make the day count today. Don't just go through the motions. I think often making the day count comes down to a matter of forgiving somebody. We step on each other's toes so much in this life. God is good all the time and all the time. And what's the third part we added, Mark? And people are messy. God is good, but people are messy. His people are messy. And we don't intend to, but we offend each other. We step on each other's toes. It's always a great day to forgive somebody. No matter how they've mistreated you. Just to say, God, in light of your forgiveness for me today, I want to make this day count. I want to forgive that person. Maybe you need to make a phone call before you run and have lunch today and say, you know what, I forgive you. Or maybe you need to make a phone call today and say, I need you to forgive me. I'm sorry.